we may have three Western New York teams make the NCAA tournament. Now, I know that there's some skepticism. No, I'm just talking about the three men.
Oh, the three men.
Canisius could win them.
Sure.
Canisius or Niagara could win the MAC tournament. UB is by far and away the best team in the Mid-American Conference. St. Bonaventure's in second place in the A-10, and well, a little wobbly sometimes. You know,
they're making a run here, though.
But yeah,
they have URI coming up, which is a huge game for them.
I think they could beat either you or me.
Yeah. Well, that's funny.
Bad joke. Is this going to be like this for 2 hours?
Over there, like,
yeah.
Man,
Celtics.
It's going to be a long 2 hours, man.
URI didn't ring. I thought he was actually saying they have either me or you coming
up. That's a funny thing. Like, me and Sully. Sully's a Rhode Island guy. Right. He's what? What town? Newport, right?
Newport.
So he knows URI down in Kingston. I went to Providence. I
but
know
not
URI.
Together.
But around here, they're always Rhode Island. It's like, no, right. It's URI. It's URI. Let's call them URI.
It's a lot less confusing than UTI, the trucking school that you see the commercials for.
Yeah.
And you think that somebody
like
at some point would be like, you know what, maybe we shouldn't call it UTI.
That wouldn't even be in the running for me.
You know, that you see it during, you know, the morning shows, well, in the afternoon shows, too, that I like to watch. You know, Maury, Judge Judy, a lot of those, Judge Mathis.
Just picture you sitting there and watching that.
That's what I do. Those are my guilty pleasures. Payoff television, man. I need a payoff. I need to know if this guy's the father or not.
You see what I deal with here?
When are we talking hoops?
I know. It's
hey, this is how it is.
There's usually a ramp up to the sports.
You're just an artist.
We'll get there. You're just a prop, McDonald.
Yeah, I got you.
I still have to introduce this massive studio we have here. Of course, my crooked co-host, Mike Rodak from ESPN.com is here. Buffalo News senior sports columnist Jerry Sullivan, as he always is for the first hour of the Tim Graham Show. Jonah Bronstein, I expect him to be contributing today. One of the smartest basketball minds in Western New York media, not only in the college scene, but with high schools. Mike McDonald warned me he can't really talk about local high school hoops because there's recruiting.
There's
stuff.
So much talent here, too, so we've got to be careful.
There's some sarcasm on that. Bobby Rosati diddling the knobs, as he always does. And a guest here, he's here in the studio, Mike Morano from Damon. Not at the mic, but he's here to monitor, to make sure that Mike McDonald doesn't say anything that gets him in trouble with the administration.
It's kind of like the mafia.
That's right. He's just a looming presence here in the studio, just to let Mike McDonald know that Damon is watching.
Truth be told, he follows me around everywhere I go, ever since I got hired at Damon.
Now, Mike McDonald, he's everybody in Western New York basketball circles. They know Mike McDonald, former head coach at Canisius and at Medai. His sons, also high-level players. And so being a dad, being a coach, the recruiting part of it, I guess with your perspective, Mike, and with the way I set things up, with how well things are going at Bonaventure, Niagara and Canisius, tooth and nail between those two. They're in second and third place in the Metro Atlantic. With what's going on at UB and what's going on at Damon, you guys are one of the best Division II programs in the country. By the way, winners of 12 of their past 13, and that last loss coming to 20th-ranked Bridgeport. Manute Bol's alma mater.
That's right.
Damon's going to play Molloy on Friday night at Lumsden Gym. If you want to go check out high-quality basketball, check out the Damon program. They're on fire. Well, you've been it's hard to say you're on fire because the whole season's been like a streak for you. You're playing at a high level. But I guess just to open things, Mike, the college basketball scene in Western New York right now, how would you compare it based on your experience as to the level that we're seeing right now?
Well, it's never been like this. I mean, I've been here 30 years. In Western New York, and was obviously knee deep in the MAC and the Canisius Niagara rivalry and everything. And there have been good teams. Teams that went to the NCAAs, things like that. But there hasn't been the quality or the time when all four teams have been good. Now UB has only been Division I since 1992, so they haven't maybe had the chance to be as good. But it's going to be interesting. I think the Bonnies are an interesting case. Because they are second, as Mike said, in the Atlantic 10, but they do have some kind of quality wins, right, with Syracuse, I guess, and Maryland, I guess.
They're 19-6, 9-4 only in the A-10, though, but they're still good for second place. They have a 46 RPI, 55 power
index. That's a little bit high. The A-10 is down a little bit this year. They need the game against Rhode Island this weekend, or URI, sorry, Mike. they need that this weekend to give them a little bit more juice with the committee, I would think.
Any chance, I think they need that.
Joe Lenardi, if you're into him, a lot of people, you know, some people get into his bracketology, some people don't, but Joe Lenardi has St. Bonaventure as among his first four out now. So
and
that puts them on
Rhode
the cusp.
Island, a win over Rhode Island on Friday night would definitely move the needle a little bit. And then they have to keep going and have a good showing in the tournament unfortunately, it's just a down year for the Atlantic 10. Mm-hmm. It's not as good. Canisius Niagara, the MAC's going to be a one-bid league. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to get, win the tournament, realistically, for one of them to get it. I think either one of them could do that. There's no doubt about that. And then Buffalo, I agree that UB is the best team in that league. Unfortunately, it's probably going to be a one-bid league again. And I think UB might have to win the tournament to get in. So it's going to be a fun last few weeks here in February, early March, to see where everybody ends up.
Yeah, the KenPom rankings, which are, I don't know how much stock you put into those, but they're sort of a popular alternative ranking as far as college basketball teams. They have the Bonnies at 67 right now, which puts them obviously right on the edge of the tournament being 68, and obviously there's different bids and stuff that come into play there. UB sitting at 84, so like you said, I think it would be very hard for them to make it as an at-large.
Now,
to
Bonnies
win.
Have a case. 84. They played without Jalen Adams early in the year, and they did beat Maryland without Jalen Adams, and when you're playing with the committee, will take that into account. But again, I think both of them have to, 67, 68, that's not good enough right now. You really got to be probably in the top 40 when you start counting the at-large bids or the automatic conference bids.
Yep.
UB would appear to be the best team of the Big Four. I think if you were to have a little mini tournament, I don't know. I guess we'll hold that off for a second. I guess my point is that they've been the most dominant based on their conference, against their competition. Within the Mid-American Conference, they've been dominant. They're 19-7, 11-2 in the Mid-American Conference East. 11-1 at home. But here's the thing. They're susceptible. They're the highest scoring team in the MAC at 83.7 points a game, but they have the worst defense at 77 points a game. So still a very nice margin at like 7 points on average. But does that make them vulnerable? Because if they get into a game where they just go cold, it only takes one loss in the Mid-American Conference tournament.
Can I just jump in real quick and then Matt can answer? But they don't have the worst defense. They play very fast. They give up a lot of points. They've had nights when they've played poor
defense.
Right.
I mentioned they do have the best margin, but then you have somebody like Central Michigan where it's more balanced and they rank third in scoring and third in defense.
But UB, I think the last time I looked, KenPom, which Mike had mentioned, is I think two in their league in defensive efficiency. So they've actually guarded rather well, but there are nights they haven't played the best defense and they give up a lot of points.
They had a rough stretch.
I just didn't want you to call them the worst defense.
They had a rough stretch when they played defense.
I hear what you're saying.
He thinks their defense is the best they've had there, better than either of the teams that made the tournament.
And I would agree. We played them, actually, early in the year. Played them in an exhibition game. We played them all right, but it's funny because one of my assistants said after a little while, he goes, in hindsight, losing by 22 to UB wasn't bad because they were blowing everybody out in the Mid-American Conference. And I think that's where, and Jonah's right, it's a little bit misleading because points per game, some of those games, they were up big. And teams are scoring at the end of the game. The focus and attention to defense isn't going to be as sharp as it would be when they're up 30. And I think they do play fast. There are more possessions, and they're going to get the other team's going to get more chances to score. So they're good. I think they're good, and I think they're really good. What stinks is when you think about it, they're 11-2 in their league, and people are kind of killing them because they lost at Northern Illinois. And Jerry said this for years, and he's known this for years, that you go in your conference games and you go on the road and it's tough to win.
Especially DeKalb, Illinois.
Yeah, and now they're going to get punished for one road loss, or two. Well, Oklahoma might have six road losses or seven road losses, but they're in the top 16 right now. I mean, it's just funny, and I think UB is a team that if they get in the tournament, they can win a game.
Yeah.
They're fun, a lot of fun. All the teams are fun to watch. Everybody is entertaining. There are star players. Every team you look in Western New York, there are nationally ranked players in terms of, you know, whether it be three-point shooting, free throw percentage, just scoring. There are some talented players out there that are ranking very high all around the country. Niagara, by the way, 21st in scoring in the country. Buffalo is, or UB, I should say. I'm sorry. Got to be careful with my notes here. UP, as we know them, 23rd. See, now you can't go to Providence and start talking about UB. Nobody's going to know what you're talking about. That's like true. URI here.
It's true. It goes both ways. In fact, I remember...
I have a feeling this is going to be an awful story.
They played a tournament game up there.
Wow.
They won some folks over.
I remember our president of our school saying
already bad story.
Why the school wasn't Providence University instead of PC. And he said if it was PU, then we would have stunk.
Mm-hmm.
Like PU.
Well, the jokes like just UTI. Keep on getting better here.
Yeah. Like UTI.
We should sell tickets to this show. What do you think?
We might have.
does that president have a radio show on after this?
It's a good one.
By the way, Tim Bontemps of the Washington Post in the 5 o'clock hour is going to come on, and we're going to talk a little NBA. Tim Bontemps, St. Bonaventure grad.
My boy Bontemps.
Yeah, we may have another guest, you know, something up my sleeve. Something might come together late. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. But I want to get down to all kinds of discussion about what's going on in basketball. But I threw the question out there. It's a fun exercise. We still have, you know, a few minutes left in this segment. We can get into it. What would happen? We're talking about how talented or at least entertaining these four teams are. And what would happen if you – and by the way, I need to reset. We've been at this for a little while. Mike McDonald from Damon College here in studio for the full 2 hours of the show. Here with Jerry Sullivan and Mike Rodak, Jonah Bronstein. You'll hear his voice too. What would happen if these four teams got into a little round-robin tournament? Who would emerge as the best team in the area?
I'll go first. I think UB. They did lose to Bonner earlier, but that's without Wes Clark. I think the way they play and the way they defend at guards, they've got a defensive player of the year in the league who plays 17 minutes a game in Carruthers. I think their defensive guard depth would be enough to at least neutralize the two great guards from Bonaventure. But I've watched more UB, so I think inside Bonaventure, they have those kind of obscure guys that you don't think about that might be stronger than what Buffalo has, but I think UB's the best of the four.
Are we saying neutral court here? Because sure. I think the Bonnies could win down at Olean.
We'd play it at Lumsden.
As long as we get to keep the gate.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to give you a gate.
I think UB could win. I mean, I think those teams are pretty evenly matched. You look at the rankings, they're within 10 or 15 spots of one another there, so... I mean, they're better than Canisius and Niagara. I think that's clearly where it would come down to.
We do have a Bonner grad
I can't
here.
Say that I, you know, I've watched too much of these teams, but that's kind of where I would land that.
I would tell you, and I think you could make a case for any of them. Niagara's backcourt is really good, right? Scott and Dukes can really score. And I think they tend to get overlooked because they've kind of gotten hot of late. And they're playing a lot better lately. And they beat Bonnie. Now, Bonnie didn't have Jalen Adams early in the year. They won at Bonnie, though, in the Riley Center, which is a big win. Yeah. What I think would be really cool, I'm going to abstain from it because I got friends at all four schools. I'm not going to tick anybody off.
Oh, heaven forbid you come in and give some insight.
Yeah, well, like anybody's really listening anyway, let's be honest. Oh, yeah. Right? But the one thing I'd say was, how about if the NIT, right? How about if you know, if two of these teams can make the NIT, wouldn't it be cool if, you know, Buffalo hosted Canisius?
Oh, yeah.
Or Buffalo hosted Bonner.
Well, how about this? Can we say that all four of these teams, and maybe Canisius because it's not a name, and sometimes all when you take a look at all four of these teams getting into at least the NIT?
I don't know about the NIT. The NIT is tougher to get into now. Because you have to get they take the conference champions, regular season champions first, and it becomes tougher to get in. But they'll all play in the postseason. I mean, they have those other tournaments,
those
CBI
don't count.
And stuff
those don't count.
You have to
right?
buy your way in. Yeah, it's tough to do.
It can cost you money to be in those tournaments.
It costs you a lot of money to get in those tournaments. A lot of money.
Canisius is tied for first. They could get in, so they'd be one. They play Monmouth soon because I think Monmouth's
a dangerous
team.
They play Ryder at Ryder is the big one.
and at Ryder.
They play Monmouth Friday.
Monmouth Friday.
UB, and UB is in first place too, so they could win their league, and that would give them an automatic invite to the NIT. So you never know.
Do you think UB and Bana or Bana is an automatic NIT team even if they don't win the league?
I think because UB is going to win the league, yes. I don't know if
they're not. Bana, they're tied right now. They could lose it to Toledo.
Yeah, that's true. Bana, I don't know. I mean, you would think the Atlantic 10 would get an NCAA team and an NIT team, but you never know if all of a sudden somebody wins the tournament. I'm going to throw it. Dayton wins the tournament, the Atlantic 10 tournament, or VCU or somebody like that, and then you know URI's in, and they're going. Bonnies could get shut out of both of those. I don't know.
Canisius, with a big test coming up on Sunday, they're going to play Ryder on the road. They beat Ryder by a point at the Kessler Center, and Ryder 12-2 leading that conference. So that's going to be a big matchup. Niagara plays Ryder only once. Now help me, why is that?
The MAC this year went to an unbalanced schedule to try and help. Listen, the MAC's been doing it since I was there, and it never works. They're always trying to get that second team in and try and get the at-large team. And it's happened twice, Manhattan in 95 and Iona in 2010, 2011, somewhere in there, got in. And a lot of that, you know, they're always trying to get it. They're trying to protect the top seeds so that one of the better teams don't play one of the conceivable lower-ranked teams and hurt their RPI because they had to play them twice. Mm-hmm. So they've tried to keep it so that, you know, the better teams play each other twice and they only play the predicted lesser teams only once.
Niagara would probably help them, right? So if you're trying to protect Ryder, you're hurting them because they're only going to get to play Niagara once instead of playing them twice.
You would think. But and again, I just don't like any league where you don't play everybody twice. You know, if you're going to play a double round robin schedule, you should play everybody twice.
Awesome to have Mike McDonald here in studio, the coach at Damon and one of the great guys that you'll ever meet. And whether it's a basketball camp or if you have an opportunity to have a chance to, if you're listening and you're a player, have a chance to go play at Damon, or you're a parent.
That's not a violation.
What a blessing! What a blessing that would be. I'd love for my kid to play for Mike McDonald if he just learned to stop dribbling off his foot when he goes to his left.
Wrong sport, maybe.
Sounds like me.
Not just a good year. It's been quite a program, Mike. It's kudos to you and what you've done there.
Well, I was very lucky. I inherited a very good situation with some real good players, and we've been lucky. We have really good kids that like playing and play the right way. It's funny. You say we've been good all year. We haven't. We were 5-5 at Christmas, and our leading scorer became ineligible.
But other than that.
And yeah. And we're on a bus to Vermont to play St. Michael's, and you know, I just...
You had to pull over and tell him to get off?
No,
is that how that works?
But we were just... he was already, he didn't make the trip.
Oh, okay.
But I just thought, man, this could be a long year. And then we go to St. Michael's, who's not very good, and we're down 27 at the half. And we weren't down 27 at any point to UB. And I'm walking to the locker room, and I just feel terrible for our guys because we got 10 guys dressed. That's all we have left. And I'm like, we're just going to be bad this year. I feel bad. I didn't yell at him or anything. I just said, you know, we got to play better than this. We're not this bad. We have to, and we got great leadership from our captains, Jeff Redband and Jay Sarkis. And next thing you know, we lose that game by one on two dubious calls, down as two calls against us within the last 20 seconds. Amazing, but we had a shot. And the next day, we got on a bus, drive to Albany to play St. Rose, who was ranked in the region, really good, and had this incredible home court winning streak. And we led from tip off to buzzer. I mean, it was great. Play great, and we haven't looked back since.
Let's talk about some of your players. You mentioned a couple there, Jay Sarkis and Jeff Redband, two great three-point shooters, but also Andrew Sisco with his shooting 57% from the floor and eight boards. And I checked out, went to the East Coast Conference website last night. I was trying to get a little background on some of your guys. And has Sisco been Player of the Week like seven times or what?
He's been Rookie of the Week. Rookie of the Week.
Okay, Rookie of the Week.
Yeah, so he's a freshman from the Albany area.
He's all over the place in the awards. I mean, his picture is all over the conference website.
And well, it should be. He's played very well, and he's a great kid, really good kid.
Good looking.
Worked very hard.
Wouldn't you say?
Not that matters.
That's why they use his picture sometimes.
Oh, happy Valentine's Day, Jonah.
Happy Valentine's Day, Cisco.
That's Jonah Bronstein, by the way. Jonah also handles the live streaming of the Tim Graham Show, which you can see archived or live, whatever you want, whatever your pleasure.
Can I jump in and ask a question, Tim?
After I finish.
Okay.
Sorry. At the Buffalo News Facebook page. Go ahead.
You're not supposed to ask. You just interrupt.
Well, yeah. No, I just I'm curious about this. I saw the release Mike Morano put out today, number 9 in the East Regional rankings. It's an 8-team East Regional. Yeah. Does that mean you guys are right there? Like, if Bonner's one of the first 4 teams out, are you one of the first 4 teams out in the Division II tournament right now?
Right now, yeah, for the East Region. The way they do it is they'll take 8 teams from the Northeast, 8 teams from Mid-Atlantic and South and all that. They have different till they get to 64.
It's a little more formulaic than
because it's tougher to see everybody and you don't know and there's not as big a committee. And it's much more regional.
Do you have a big matchup coming up, Mike, that is going to be like, we have to win this if we want to get into the tournament?
Really what we have to do, Tim, is we have to just keep winning. We have 4 regular season left.
I thought I was going to get the Mike McDonald, who I consider more of just an acquaintance, like a friend. And now we're just getting the coach, Mike McDonald, here.
Well, we're talking Damon. That's what we got to do. we can go back talk about the Big Four if you want. I can say, throw that.
No.
But I think for us, we have 4 games. The thing that stinks a little bit is that all 4 teams are below 500, but all 4 teams could. Are good, you know, but their overall record is below 500, so that could technically hurt our power rating. In the end, we can't worry about that. We know we're in our conference tournament. Only the top 6 out of the 10 teams make the tournament. We've made it. We know we're going to be no lower than 4th, and as high as 2nd. So we just got to go. I know in those rankings you reference, we won at St. Rose, who I believe is 4th. In those rankings, and we won at St. Thomas Aquinas about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, who is 2nd or 3rd. So I think they're 3rd. So we've been there. We lost. When I knew this team was even, I knew that we were pretty good, and I knew we were even better. We played Bridgeport, who is, as you mentioned, was our only loss. That game, we were down 24 with 13 to go. Bridgeport is really good, shooting great. They're also called UB, by the way, just so you know. Right? And next thing you know, with 15 seconds to go, we're down 1. Their guy misses a layup. If we come up with you're down 2, I guess. We come up with an offensive rebound, we might have had a shot to win. They ended up getting the rebound. We fouled. The guy made 2 free throws. But it just showed me, like, the team's got a lot of guts, you know, and they really do, and it's pretty cool. It's been fun team to coach.
You've done this after losing your leading scorer?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Isn't it great what happens in basketball sometimes, chemistry? And I'm thinking, of course, 96, Canisius.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Now, that was an injury to Barley, and that's when they get
talking about that the other day.
You were.
Yep. Oh. And he gets, he gets hurt, and, you know, John Beilein, lowest point I've ever seen him ever was after he got hurt and telling me that he's done. He was just like, we're done, because we had a really good run of players at that point, and we just thought, like, that was our chance to kind of get to the NCAAs, and Daryl gets hurt, who was player of the year of the league, and next thing you know, we come together and we win 3 games in March and go to the NCAA tournament. It was the unlikeliest team that we had during that stretch, because I remember there were certain columnists from the Buffalo News, and his hockey-playing guy who was the covered us, who used to make fun of Beilein that he couldn't get out of Sunday, right?
Because that's Harrington, right?
Yeah, I think it was the 2 of you. It was an Irish double team. Beilein couldn't get out of Sunday because we got beat 2 years in a row, 3 years in a row, in the semifinals. Mm-hmm. The first year we were a tremendous underdog to Jack Armstrong's Niagara team. The next year we got beat by Skip Prosser and Loyola.
You were the best team in the league.
We were, by far, and we got beat. And the third,
95
was, we were Manhattan was, because they got that large
that's right.
But we had just won at Manhattan. We felt we were the best team, and we got upset by St. Peter's.
And with the ponytail, that's right.
Yeah, Mike Freeney. And you guys were killing them. Couldn't get out. If there was Twitter back then, they probably would have run Beilein out of town. How about that?
Yeah. I told him a story the other day about the NIT thing, because I was knocking NIT, and I said that after they won that big game, John came out, and the first thing he said was, where's Jerry Sullivan?
Yeah, it was Washington State. We beat Washington State at the odd, and you were off covering some meaningless NCAA tournament game.
Yeah, North Carolina, Louisville, I think.
Everybody in Buffalo was at that game. It was, you know, incredible.
I do regret missing that.
was one of the greatest moments. And that was so much better. Going to the NIT finals was so much better than the next year we went to the NCAAs. We went to the NCAAs. We flew into Dallas. Got beat by Rick Majerus in Utah by 30. And they put you on a plane and say, see you. And you're back. And we went to the Garden. We ended up losing the first game to Virginia Tech. Back then, the NIT had a consolation game. We had a stay. We had a day off in between where they had a big dinner at Tavern on the Green. They gave us tickets. You had choices. You could go to a Knicks game or you could go to the to a Broadway show. So naturally, I was married. I dragged my wife. We're going to the Knicks game.
Well, a basketball family.
Jordan scored 55. That was the one of the double
you
nickel
got the
game.
Double nickel game.
Double
oh,
nickel
God,
game.
That's great.
Whole team was there. Beeline, he went to the Broadway show.
What did he see?
I
Cats?
Don't know.
He Cats was
he didn't see
then.
Jordan I score 55, I'll tell you that.
Well, great. Well, Jonah, when you step to the mic and you stare lovingly at Mike McDonald, you know, you can go ahead and speak.
Wonderful story. Well, he kind of answered the question, but you mentioned it. This is what I said to Jerry, and he disagreed with me vehemently on Monday, but I think, especially if more than one team is going to make the postseason, one of these teams making a run in the NIT will be more fun to watch than a one-and-done scenario by the same team. So let's say it's UB. If they go to MSG, well, they have a chance to win that tournament. Yep.
Yeah, they lost to West Virginia. It was great. You know, there's nothing like seeing your team on Selection Sunday, without a doubt. That's a great thing, right? But there is something to be said. People scoff, certain sports writers scoff at the NIT sometimes, but in the end, it can be great for a team where you can get in. You know, that year we got in, we beat Seton Hall, who was Danny Hurley's last game as a collegiate player, was at Seton Hall. We beat them. They didn't really want to be there. Mm-hmm. We beat them. Then we went to Bradley, and we played in front of a packed house. Everybody was wearing red. It was incredible. Right? And we went there and won on a last-second shot by two, and we knew we had a home game coming back to play Washington State. Unbelievable. The Washington State experience in the odd was something, you know, you'd never forget. I get goosebumps right now talking about it. It's unbelievable. And that was 95, probably before you were born, Jonah.
Oh, no. I was there. Actually, now that you mention it, though, I wasn't at that game. I was at the Seton Hall game. Okay. I remember they were chanting Bobby at him. Bobby. Yeah. Bobby. Every time he went to the line. And he didn't like it.
That was at Seton Hall?
No, it was at home. At the odd. Because they couldn't get the arena. They played in the Meadowlands back then. They couldn't get it. So we were like the last team in, one of the last teams into the NIT. We get in, and we get Seton Hall, and they didn't want to be there. Their AD was a guy named Larry Keating. George Blaney was the coach.
Oh, jeez.
And those guys were complaining how the clock rooms were cold at the odd, and like we were in some plush, beautiful spot at the other end. And the locker rooms were cold. The water was cold, everything. Da, 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 da. And we played great. We played great. We wanted to be there.
Yeah, you know who had great memories of that game? Patrick Beilein. I wrote about him. They were in one of their runs with his dad, and he talked about going to that game as a ball boy and looking up to Michael Meeks and thinking he was like the greatest thing in the world.
And he was for a long time, even though you used to kill him too.
Great basketball conversation here all throughout the entire show, going on for the full 2 hours of the Tim Graham Show. We're going to take another break. We're still going to get to that conversation about the Big Four MVP this year. Who's having the best season? Because there's some great names to choose from. With Mike McDonald from Damon, Jerry Sullivan from the Buffalo News, Mike Rodak from ESPN, Jonah Bronstein, Bobby Rosati, Mike Morano lurking in the corner, policing his coach, making sure that he doesn't say anything untoward, scandalous. Tim Graham Show, Sports Radio 1270, The Fan.